Proverbs 28, and we're just going to read the first verse, and I want you to know something in here in just a minute. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Let's read it one more time. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I'm going to preach on a lion today, and two other people, actually. And this probably goes a little bit against, the guy who was just with us for VBS, because I'm preaching on the lion, the scarecrow, and the tin man. And I preached this sermon in chapel a while ago, the lion, the scarecrow, and the tin man. Let's pray, and we'll get started today. Lord, we thank you for this day, and I do pray, Father, that you would guide my speech. Lord, I want to speak stuff that you want me to say. I want to speak the words which you've given to me. The truth which you've given is here. And Lord, I pray that it would be conveyed simply. I pray that it would touch the hearts of the people just as it touched my heart. And I pray that it would continue to touch my heart. I pray that we would leave today taking what we've heard from your word and applying it to our lives. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for, Lord, sustaining us. Give us a wonderful evening now as a church family in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are three characters, which many of you would know, and for those of you who don't, the lion, the scarecrow, and the tin man are from a children's story. It was a book before it's a movie, just like everything else, just about, okay? And so there was a guy who wrote a children's story, and in it, there's a little girl who she's trying to get home and all this other kind of stuff, and she meets three people and on her journey, and she's following the yellow brick road and all that other type stuff. But basically, she meets three characters in this story, and the characters themselves are goofy, the characters themselves are silly, but there's three things that each of these characters are looking for, and that's what we're going to apply to ourselves spiritually, and I think the Bible talks about each of these three items, as we're going to see in just a moment. The lion, he's looking for courage, right? And he needs courage and all that other kind of stuff. And the scarecrow, he just wishes he had a brain, you know, and he's just singing along. And then there's the tin man, and he just wishes he had a heart. And so today we're going to look at three, and we laugh, and it's silly, and it's kind of a kid's story, but you know what, think about it. There are people we meet every day, and they're missing one of those three things, sometimes all three. Okay, I mean, we've all been there, right? We've all lost our brain before, okay? I have. I wake up some days, and I get halfway through the day, and I think, man, where'd my brain go? You know, I must have left it at home. And the truth is, spiritually and in our life, we come across these people all the time. And I'm going to show you from the Bible these three character traits, and there's a distinct thing. If you're missing each of them, the lion is looking for courage. The scarecrow, he's looking for a brain. The tin man is looking for a heart. Now, I believe in this character analysis here, in this comparison that we're going to make, each of these characters, we're going to say that they're only missing one thing, okay? The lion, he has a brain and a heart. He just doesn't have courage. The scarecrow, he needs a brain, but he has courage and he has a good heart. And the tin man, he has plenty of courage and plenty of brains. He just doesn't have a heart. And so we're going to go down through each of these three according to what the Bible says. And if you notice there, we'll start with the lion. In Proverbs 28:1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." So obviously there's something wrong with this character. He's a lion who's a coward, right? And we meet people like this all the time. In the Christian life, this is the person that has a good mind. They've been raised right. They've got their mind in the right place. And they've got their heart in the right place, but they lack courage. Okay, and we've all been there before, right? You've heard the saying, his heart was in the right place. Okay, you know what that means? He had the right purpose. You know, he was trying to do the right thing. He just lacked the courage to do it. I've been this person on teen soul winning. My heart's in the right place. My mind knows what I'm supposed to do. And I get up to that door and I lack the courage to tell that person about Jesus. I've done that before, and I guarantee everybody in this room has done that before. That's a good illustration of it. Somebody who has the right heart, the right mind, but they just lack the courage. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to see what the Bible says about that. This is the one thing, this is the easiest thing to fix and also the easiest thing for us to fall into, if you will. If we've been raised in a Christian home and in a good gospel preaching church, most of the time, the young people from the littlest all the way to the oldest have a good mind for the Lord. And they know their Bible, and they know, you know, the Scripture. And if they don't, then they need to get that, okay? That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have a Christian school. And we all ought to be training our mind to memorize God's Word, correct? And we ought to be daily keeping our heart right with the Lord. But we can do both of those two things and then lack the courage to go through with it. And so we're going to see what the Bible has to say about this matter of courage and stepping up and using the two things God gave us, our mind and our heart, and applying them in our life, getting the courage to do what's right. And so I want you to, I'm going to read some of these, but go ahead and there's not very many here. So we're going to turn to Joshua 1:9 real quick. Turn to Joshua 1:9. Courage is an essential ingredient in the Christian life. We can't be a good soul winner without good courage. We can't live the Christian life like we ought to. We can't have the right testimony. We can have all the head knowledge in the world and all the heart in the right place. But boy, without the courage to do what's right, we'll find ourselves in a bad place. Joshua 1:9, the Lord gives this encouragement. Joshua gives this encouragement to all the children of Israel. And it says in verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now listen, the Lord's not going to be with you wherever you go if you're not with Him in your heart and with your mind, correct? I mean, He'll watch over you. He knows what's going on. But He's talking about somebody here who knows what they're supposed to be doing and knows what God's told them to do. And God looks at Joshua, and Joshua looks at the children of Israel and says, "Hey, listen, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of that wicked old world that's out there. Hey, listen, if you noticed, if you've been watching the news at all, or if you've heard wind of this, we have a wicked world out there. You don't even have to watch the news to realize that. You walk down the street and you realize our world is hostile towards Christians. And the more and more and closer we get to the Lord's return, my son, I am afraid to see what he's going to have the courage to stand up and do. Daniel had to have the courage just to get up and pray in the morning after a law was passed that said he couldn't. I have a feeling that at least my grandsons, if the Lord tarries that long, will probably have to have that kind of courage. The kind of courage that says you can't go and meet in a church anywhere. And you can't even read the Bible. You can't even pray in public. And that kind of courage is what we're talking about here. And God says here to Joshua, listen, you be strong and of a good courage and you do it anyway. You look at the heathen Joshua was going to take the children of Israel into a heathen land, right? And conquer it. That's what his job was. And the Lord made sure, hey, listen, Joshua, look them in the face and don't be afraid of them. Go out and do what I sent you to do. Proverbs 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Isaiah 41:6 says, "They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage." Now, we're going somewhere with this. These verses aren't just encouragements for us to have courage, okay? They give you some instruction, and if you're noticing here, they tell you where the source of your courage should be from, all right? People get courage from a lot of things. If you think about it, back in the old days when they would fight, the Romans would come in and they would try to conquer those pagan nations. Those guys would paint themselves blue and they would, you know, inhale things that made them crazy. I mean, to go into battle against the Romans, you had to be pretty crazy, okay? Historically, I'm a teacher, I'm going to use this as an illustration. But this kind of stuff has happened. People get their courage all kinds of places. I knew one person told me that, I don't know what job it is that they go, is it? Well, I guess telephone lines or whatever, a lot of the guys that would go up on those high spots, you know, they would actually be on drugs, at least some of the modern people. I knew a guy who said, man, half of my coworkers were on drugs. I'm thinking, why would they do that when they're up that high? Aren't they going to, you know, kill themselves? But he said, no, you have to be, you know, you either have to be crazy or you have to be on that to get up that high, is what he was saying. That's not true, of course, but people get their courage from a lot of things. You know, if you'll know the end of people's lives, when someone goes to commit suicide, a lot of times they'll be on drugs or alcohol. And you know what they're doing? They're trying to get a false courage, right? They're trying to get up the courage to do something that's dangerous, all right? And that's, of course, not the source of our courage, and it shouldn't be. In fact, that courage is so temporary. It lasts so short of a time. Young people, if you're not careful, you'll get up the courage to do something you know is wrong or some kinds of, you know, if you gain all your courage from those around you, there's going to be a day where they're not there, okay? If the only reason you do right is because the people around you are, you're not going to do right all the time. I know that. I've done that, okay? You have too. Your parents have done that. Your pastor has done that. We've been in those spots where, you know what? I thought I had the courage to do what's right. And then as soon as my friends were gone, I didn't. And as soon as my parents were gone, I didn't. You know why? Because I got my courage from them. And I didn't get my courage from the Lord. And obviously the Bible here says, listen, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. So we can get courage from other people, but I mean, right here it says, God's the one who we're supposed to get courage from. And so, you know what? If you find yourself in this situation, if this is your character tonight, maybe you do lack the courage to go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Maybe you have lacked the courage to say what you ought to say. Maybe at work, you're not standing up for right like you ought to. Let's take some courage tonight from the Word of God. The person that lacks courage, let me just show you what happens to the person that's like this lion. Tonight, if you're one of these people, and maybe you've met somebody like this, maybe you know someone right now who's going through a time and they need some courage, okay? They need some courage in the Lord. And they have the right heart and they know what they're supposed to do. They just don't know how to do it. Let me show you what happens to someone who doesn't get that. The person who lacks courage, it'll hinder him from these things. Helping others. Did you notice that last verse? Isaiah 41:6 says this. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. You know what? There's some people in our church right now. Some young people in our church right now. Some adults in our church right now. You know the best thing you could do for them on Sunday is? Walk up and encourage them. You know? They just, you know what Brother John and Sister Terry need? Some encouragement. Where does that word encourage come from? It doesn't mean walk up and tear down their courage, okay? It means the opposite. Encourage, lift them up, give them the courage to do what they need to do. Somebody going through a trial, they don't need your criticism, okay? Somebody going through a hard time, they don't need your suggested advice most of the time if they haven't asked for it especially. They might ask you, and that might be a way to encourage them. And you know what? If my pastor gave me advice, I'd be thankful for that. That would be an encouragement to me. But, you know, sometimes somebody gives you advice that's not wanted or looked for. That's not usually encouraging, okay? Usually, all right? So listen, we need to not... The Bible says there, we can look at our brother and say, be of good courage. You know what I need to do? I need to look at these young men and say, hey, in that situation you're going through, be of good courage. When your friends come to you and offer you this, that, and the other, be of good courage, okay? When your mom and dad leave you alone at your house, be of good courage. Do what's right. My mom used to say when she left, and you know what? I can't say that I was the best young man. All of my teenage years went through some times where I had the wrong friends, by the way, that brought me down, did not encourage me in doing what's right. In fact, they gave me the courage to do things that were wrong, and it hurt me, and it hurt my life. But I can remember my mom and dad saying, she would leave the house, and maybe I was alone, maybe I was with my brothers and sisters, and she would say to all of us, do right till the stars fall, do right. And you know what? That was just a little piece of a song, and she would sing that to us, you know, when we were little. But even when we were older, you know, teenagers, she would leave the house, and she'd say, Roger, James, Abby, do right till the stars fall, do right. And that was just a little piece of a song, but you know what she was doing? She was trying to give us that courage while we were alone or while we were with each other to do what's right. And so listen, we can encourage each other as brothers in Christ. The person that lacks courage doesn't stand for right, okay? Who's some people in the Bible that stood for right? Daniel stood for right. He had to have a lot of courage. Nehemiah had to have courage to build that wall with those people in front of him, heckling him, trying to get him to come down. The three Hebrew children had to have courage. They definitely were bold as lions, like the Bible tells us to be. And so you need to have courage if you're going to stand for right. You got to have courage if you're going to resist temptation, okay? This person who lacks courage doesn't resist temptation. Joseph resisted temptation. He did. He stood for what was right. He was all alone. Nobody else would have known what he had done. But you know what? He stood for what was right. He did what was right. Jesus resisted temptation. You know what? I know he was the Son of God, but he was tempted just like you and I, and yet without sin. And so thank the Lord, he's our example of the right type of behavior, standing up for what's right. Eventually, this person, if they never get it, if they never get the courage that they need, it'll lead to death and sadness. It leads to a life that's wasted that God wanted to use, but couldn't because they didn't have the courage. And so I don't want to be stuck there. I don't want my life 10 years from now for somebody to look back at Brother Young and say, listen, he was here for so many years, his mind was in the right place, his heart was in the right place, he just lacked the courage. And you know what? If there's anything that we can give to people easier The next two are a little harder to get, by the way, and you'll see that in just a second. But the one thing that you could help, if you're one of those courageous, I mean, if you're always doing what's right, if you're on fire for the Lord, and you've got all your these three things in the right place with the Lord, you know what you can do? You can be an encouragement. Boy, that's just the one thing I want you to take away from this. There's some people out there that don't have the courage to do what's right. There's some people in our church who want to go soul winning, but nobody's ever asked them to go soul winning with them. I know that they should go by themselves, and I know that, you know, but you know what? So there's some people who all you have to do is walk up and say, hey, would you go soul winning with me? And that might just give them the courage to do it. And so let's be an encouragement to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's get courage in our life. Let's go to Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. We're going to read this to end this spot on courage. Each of these things, I guess I brought some pictures here for our young men on the front row just in case they needed that. You know, it's been a while since they've been in school. So courage, that's what this guy's looking for, and hopefully you'll get it. Hebrews 13, 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That's where your courage comes from. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. That's it. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I would be afraid, of course, I don't want it to happen. But you know what? I don't know what I do. And we can all say one thing, but it doesn't happen till it happens, if you will. If somebody came up to me and put a gun to my head and said, will you or will you not deny the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to die for your faith in Jesus? And you know what I would like to say? I would say, yes, I'll die for Jesus. And if they pull that trigger, they pull that trigger, and I'm going to heaven. But how do I know? You know, what if they put a gun to my wife's head? What if they put a gun to my kid's house? Do I have the courage to stand for what's right, even when someone wants me to get to lose my courage? Will I chicken out? All right, let's not chicken out. Let's find the courage that we need. All right, the next person is the scarecrow. The scarecrow. Go to Proverbs 18:15. Now the lion, he's the easiest one to fix. We meet people all the time, and courage is a hard thing to get. But you know what? If you start reading God's word, you'll be encouraged. If you start going to church, you'll be encouraged. If you start listening to the right kind of music, you'll be encouraged. God is willing to give us the courage that we need. Proverbs 18:15, however, tells us about another person. 18:15 says this: the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So here we have a person who has a heart. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Who are we talking about now? Well, we're talking about the scarecrow. This is the young person that we meet, or the adult that we meet, or the person that we meet, who they have a strong courage. You know, they're courageous. They're that go-getter type. And they've got a good heart, but they don't have a brain. Okay? You've met those people, all right? You've been that person before, all right? Well, I know I got the right idea, and I've got the courage to do it, but I just don't know how I'm supposed to do it, okay? The person who doesn't have a brain. This is often the go-getter type person, the outgoing person, the person that's liked by a bunch of people for their personality, and they give their opinion a lot usually. But you know what? This is the person that's potentially dangerous if they don't have the right mindset. If they don't have the right mindset, if they haven't memorized their scripture, if they don't, you know, they start out with a heart that's willing and tender, and they've got a great personality, and they've got great courage, but you know what? They just don't use their brain a whole lot. You know, the Lord gave us wisdom. He gives wisdom in His Word, and that's what we're going to talk about here in just a second. This is the person that could potentially act rashly. Many times He's stated in Proverbs as the fool. I believe there's a lot of foolish people who have plenty of courage and plenty of heart. They just don't take heed to anything that's instructed to. This is the person that doesn't listen to instruction, okay? This is the person that takes wisdom and just throws it out of the way. Well, that's boring stuff. I don't need that. They got a lot of courage and they got a lot of heart, but they don't listen. The more you do that, the more we're going to see in just a second that will end your life shortly. This person lacks knowledge or brains. He has no desire to gain the wisdom of God and his God and take wisdom from his godly leaders. This leads to foolish actions and eventually his destruction. And we'll find out here in just a second. Exodus 35:31. I'll just read this one to you. It says this about men who had wisdom. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. And you know what's neat about that verse? And I threw it in there, and I probably put it out of order, but those people that they were talking about, you notice what it said there? He hath filled them with the Spirit of God. Hey, listen, first you got to have the Spirit of God in you first. If you're going to get the right type of mindset, you got to have that right spirit. In wisdom, in understanding, and in all knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. It's neat, if you read the rest of that verse, you know who those people were talking about? They were talking about the craftsmen, the tradesmen, the people that carved the cups that go in the temple, the people that put the jewels in the jewelry, the people that made all of those things. Hey, listen, you know, don't give that excuse that God can't use you just because, you know, you want to do something else, okay? Don't give that excuse that, well, knowledge and wisdom, that stuff's for teachers and pastors and preachers. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's for everybody. Okay? Whether you're pounding a stake in the ground, whether you're farming corn, whether you're carving wood, whether you're serving in the Lord's house, doesn't matter. Okay? People will say, well, that wisdom, that knowledge, all that knowledge stuff, all that book knowledge, all that other kind of stuff, that's for preachers. I don't need to know that. That's for Brother Young. That's for those school teachers. I don't need to know that kind of stuff. If that's your attitude, then you're just like that scarecrow. Okay, you're missing some things up here that you need. Okay, so listen, as we go all the way through from 6 years old in the nursery and in kindergarten all the way up to school days, don't waste your school days. Okay, they're gonna go by like that. Don't waste that time. Don't waste your homeschool days. Okay, I'm not just talking about one or the other. I'm talking about any type of schooling, any type of knowledge that you get. Don't waste that, especially if you are privileged to be in a Christian school or a Christian home, where they open not only a knowledge book, but they open the Bible right beside it, and they take every knowledge. Boy, don't take that for granted. You realize you learn history not in the way the world learns history. You realize the kids that learn history now, they don't know true history because they don't take the Bible and they don't put them together and they don't compare them. And you know what? If I find anything that the world calls knowledge and I stack it up against the Bible and it doesn't fit, then I'm sorry, I'm leaving that stuff behind. Okay, this is the wisdom that we're talking about. Let's see what the Bible has to say about the wisdom found in here. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Okay, so it is good to have some knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That scarecrow, that's him. Okay, he despises the instruction given to him in church, in Sunday school, in his Christian school. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom; out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And Proverbs 8:5 says, "O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart." That tells me that the Lord's willing to give that scarecrow a brain. Okay? The Lord's willing to give the person who, you know, the person who comes in here after they've just been saved, in a lot of ways, they don't know it all up here, do they? You know, that's why we have Sunday school. That's why it's good to get, you know, people who say, well, I don't need church, I can have that at home. No, you can't. You need encouragement and instruction here, under God's man, under the Bible, under a godly Sunday school teacher. Get them in church. You know, get wisdom from all the areas that you can. Daily, we ought to be getting wisdom from God's Word. And it says that right there. Oh, you simple, understand wisdom. And notice in Proverbs 14:6 says, "A scorner seeketh wisdom." So here's a young person that's a little different. Pastor's preached a lot on the scorner. I think we've heard plenty about the scornful in this church. Probably more, thank the Lord, than any other church I've been in. And I thank the Lord for the messages against scornfulness. Here, Proverbs 14:6 says, "A scorner seeketh wisdom." They're trying and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. Listen, do you notice something here? At least the scarecrow is kind of just a little simple-minded, all right? And he can be taught and he can be molded. And if he really wants to, he can gain wisdom from God's Word. But if you turn into a scorner, it becomes real hard to get stuff from God's Word like you ought to. Because you're listening. That's the problem in the scornful. They sit on the pews, okay? They sit on the front row like you young men do. And they sit in a Christian school. And they hear and they receive and they listen. And sometimes they even memorize verses because they're supposed to. But you know what? In the end, they take everything and they turn it into a scornful thing. Well, I don't need that because, or he's just, how can Brother Young preach that? He's such a hypocrite, you know. They're not perfect. Well, nobody is, amen. And so listen, take wisdom and apply it to your own heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:21, "Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understandeth walketh uprightly." The teens' theme this year is walking uprightly. Hey, listen, are you going to be like that scarecrow Are you going to have no brain? Are you not going to accept any wisdom? Listen, don't turn into the scorner. Don't stay the fool. Boy, if you need something, go to God for it. And He says, I'll give you wisdom. I will give you wisdom. Listen, it's very evident what happens to the young man or person who doesn't receive and apply wisdom, doesn't read God's word or follow its commandments. Nothing but a life of scorn and foolishness awaits the scarecrow. If you stay like that, if you stay without the wisdom of God, then nothing but foolishness awaits you. Okay? God wants to give you wisdom. He offers it freely in His word, and we need to get it. Get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Hey, listen, the lion needed some courage. God gives this. Sometimes you meet people who need some brains, okay? They just need some wisdom. They just need some teaching. And you know what? We can help them with that, can't we? Bring them to church, get them in church, get yourself in the Bible, and you'll gain wisdom. You can gain wisdom from godly counsel, too. You can gain wisdom from God. Has so much wisdom available for us. We couldn't take it all in if we wanted to. I love the fact that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. You like that verse? I like it. But you know what? It doesn't help stop me from trying to seek out what He thinks. Okay. And so let's get courage. Let's get knowledge. Then the last one I want to tell you about today: Ezekiel 11. Go there real quick. Ezekiel chapter 11. There is three types of Christians. There's the one that lacks courage and they can get it from God. There's the one that lacks the right type of mindset and the right wisdom, and they can get that from God. The third one is the hardest and saddest, I think, of all of them. It's the tin man, the person who doesn't have a heart. He has the right mind. He has all the courage he needs, but he doesn't have the right heart. Let's see what Ezekiel 11, verse 19 says about your heart. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I wish it stopped there, because that's a great story. That's how God wants to treat this person. You know, you find somebody without the right type of heart, you can get a heart transplant. Do you know that? It says it right there. God says, I will take your old hard heart, I will take it out of you, and I will give you a new heart. That's pretty amazing. Look at verse 21, though. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. And we go to find out more. There's plenty of verses about the hard-hearted person, the one that won't accept God's molding, the one that keeps their heart hard. But right there he says, listen, I can change your heart out. I can give you a new heart, but only if you want that to happen. And only if you're willing for that to happen, only if you'll yield your heart to me, can God do that. Because otherwise, he says right here, those who keep walking after their own lusts, keep walking after their own desires, the abominations that they do, he's not gonna change their heart out. There's a couple people in the world. There's two different types of people that are like this tin man. Okay, this person has a brain and they have. The right courage, but they don't have the right heart. Now, the first one's obvious. We meet them all the time. The person that doesn't have the right type of heart can either be unsaved, okay, or they can be hard-hearted and backslidden. That's the two types of people that don't have the right heart. They can either be unsaved. Now, the first fix is easy, okay? Get saved, amen? And so tonight, if you're in the room and you're not saved, you don't know the Lord as Savior, you can do all you want to make your mind right and your spirit right, but it's never going to work, is it? Until you get the right heart. And God says, I'll take an unsaved person's heart and I'll take that out of him and I'll put a new heart in him. And boy, that's a great day. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, boy, you need to know Him as your Savior. It'll do wonders for your heart, okay? It really will. But here, there's another type of person that's like this. Sometimes we get saved, and over time, if we're not careful, if we don't keep our heart right, it does get hard and it does get cold, doesn't it? And that's why this is the saddest one. This person has a cold, hard, backslidden heart. We meet these people all the time. We might have been one of these people. Guarantee everybody in here has had times. We all our heart started one way at salvation, and the Lord had us, and sometimes our heart burns within us, as the Bible says, and it starts getting hard, okay? We all fluctuate between those things. You know, the devil His goal for Christians is to make their hearts hard. That's his goal. I mean, think about every possible sin he could do. He wants to make your heart hard. That's where he wants to get to, okay? He knows that you can't understand your heart. It's hard to, okay? The heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. And so his goal is to take that heart and make it hard, make it cold. And he doesn't want you to have the right heart within you. So many saved people, myself included, have met and maybe are smart, intelligent, wise people having all the potential and courage in the world and yet lacking the right type of heart. I went to school with people like that. I was a person like that. You know, we all go through times like that, but you know who I'm talking about. Some people are like that still. You may have gone to school with them 10 years ago, and you know what? They were on fire for the Lord, and they had the right idea, and they had the right zeal. But you know what? Over time, the devil just worked on their heart. And that's the saddest thing about these people is sometimes the most potential. You know, I know that we talk about how God uses anybody and he brings people up, you know, and he does, doesn't he? He takes people from the miry clay, sets them on a solid rock, and sometimes they're the best servants for the Lord. But I'm tired of seeing the best and the brightest fall downhill and turn into cold-hearted people. Okay? Nobody, you know, just because you're raised in a Christian school, just because you're raised in a Christian church, doesn't mean you can't serve the Lord. Okay, I think sometimes we think that. You know, we watch so many high school seniors graduate and burn that we think, oh, well, I'm a Christian school student. What's going to happen is I'm going to graduate and I'm going to burn. Okay, this doesn't have to be that way. Okay, you can still serve the Lord. And there's plenty of testimonies about like that, isn't there? We just brought a bunch of them back in May, didn't we? Okay, you know what? Most of those young people that came back in May, you know it because you saw them grow up. They were raised in a Christian school, and they were raised in a Christian church, and they had a good home. And you know what? They're still serving the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But don't turn into this person. This is the person that never yields their heart truly to God. They're never a man after God's own heart, as the Bible says. They're never, they're the people that have that coldness that sits in, and they're just going through the motions. You know, you ever seen a tin man? You know, if you can imagine somebody who's made of tin trying to walk, okay? They are just going through the motions, right? Okay? They might have the right brain, and they might have the right courage and, you know, the right tools for the job, but you know what? They're wasting them because they don't have the right heart. Boy, it's so important that our hearts are right. Let's look at some verses real quick about our heart. Go to Psalms 51:10. Psalms 51:10. We're going to turn to all these. These are in the Psalms and Proverbs. When you meet someone who has the wrong heart, or maybe you yourself have fallen into a cold-heartedness, an apathy towards the things of God, your heart doesn't burn anymore when you hear the songs that are being sung. There is ways to get that fixed, and they're not always fun, are they? God sometimes works very hard on our heart, but it's so good when we yield it to him. Let's look at Psalms 51:10. This is after David sinned and he's confessing, and I think we all have gone to Psalms 51 and we've used it as a way to template our prayer to God, and that should happen. But you know what's neat about David? He was a man. He wanted his heart to be right. He did. He. You see the Psalms, David goes to God again and again and again, wanting his heart to be right with God. That's how you keep your heart right, by the way. Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. First thing you got to do is just go ask God to give you a new heart. I mean, if you're sitting through every service and you never come to the altar, something's wrong with your heart. Okay? I understand that there's physical things and there's sometimes, you know what, I don't need to go to an altar, I can pray. If your attitude is, I don't need to go to an altar, I can take care of that at home, you never take care of it at home. You never take it. I understand that you can't completely fix your... No, David didn't go to an altar at church and pray Psalms 51, okay? He went to a closet somewhere and he begged God to clean him and get him right. But you know what? Somewhere in there, he determined in a place to go do that. And if you never respond to the preaching of God's word and your heart's so hard that I never have to go to the altar, I don't have to pray in front of everybody, I'd check your heart, amen. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How important is it to keep our heart in the right spot? Proverbs 3:5-6, I love these verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Boy, you know what? That's the tin man, isn't it? The young person who doesn't have a heart for the things of God, but they still have religious answers. You know what I'm talking about? You say, what are you going to do with your life? Well, I'm, you know, and sometimes they don't know what they're talking about. That's the scarecrow young person, okay? They don't have a brain. But then the other person is, they have a calculated answer. They know exactly what you want to hear. I was this way, okay? You probably were this way every once in a while. Well, if I give them a nice religious answer, a good, well, I'll pray about it. I've been praying about this. And I've been, you know, have you been praying about that? Or is your heart completely hard and you never pray about it? You know, you've got the axe, you've got the armor, and you're tough, and you can make it on your own without asking the Lord for help. Well, that's not true. And someday we'll all find out when your heart wasn't right. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding, okay? If you the tin man relies on his own strength. He relies on his own understanding. The things he learned in junior church, he remembers those. The things he learned as a teenager, he does remember those, but his heart's never right. That's a dangerous place to be. James 4, 8, let's go there real quick. This will be the last thing we read. James 4, 8. How do I fix this, Brother Young? How do I get the right heart? God will give us the courage we need. God will give us the wisdom we need. But boy, the hard-heartedness, the wrong heart, the heart in the wrong place, that's something that needs to be fixed immediately. It needs to be fixed with care. It needs to be taken care of. And it doesn't just take one day, by the way. The heart fixing, the keeping your heart in the right place is not something you get done in one day. Here's what the Bible says in James 4, 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. You can't do that in one day. You can take a step towards Him in one day, and you can take a step towards Him the next day, and you can take a step towards Him the day after that. And guess what? Every day, that's what we call devotions, all right? That's what we call taking some extra time with God. That doesn't just take one day. Notice it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. That's the first step. Sometimes you just got to stop what you're doing. Sometimes you're just doing stuff that's keeping your heart. Brother Young, I never understand, why is my heart always, why do I have a hard time listening to those songs? Why do I have a hard time having the right heart towards the Christian music? Well, because you're listening to the wrong music, okay? It says it right there, cleanse your hands. That's the stuff you're doing. You know, sometimes we just got to eliminate some things that we're doing in life to keep our heart right. Ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Hey, listen, you notice they were all in there. Your heart and your mind is mentioned in the same thing. You can't live two different lives. You just can't, okay? You can for a while. You really can. You can for a while, okay? All of us have done that before, haven't we? In some way or the other, okay? All of us have acted like the tin man before. We kind of were just going through the motions, you know, looking the part, looking polished, looking like we know what we're doing, and you know what? Our heart was wrong, okay? But you can't live that way for the long haul. And Brother Young, why are you preaching this at 25? Because that's what I want to do. I don't want to live a fake life, okay? All right, I know what that's like. I've done it before, okay? And I probably will do it again. I think everybody has times where they go through the motions. Let's not just go through the motions. I can't win people to the Lord. I've done it. You know, when's the last time you saw a soul saved? Well, you know what? If you're always going out soul winning and all you're doing is going through the motions, guess how many souls you're going to see saved? Not as many, okay? And so you can be an on-fire, zealous Christian, and really you don't have a hard heart. It's just you start noticing your heart gets cold, doesn't it? Okay, we all have that. Boy, the Bible, there's that song, set my soul on fire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Hey, when's the last time we sang that and really meant it? Okay, when's the last time I really sat there before God's word and says, set my soul on fire with that? Because you know what? There's times I set myself on fire with other things. You know, I'll get excited about the Colts winning any game at all because they don't win, all right, you know? But that kind of stuff's temporal. That's fake, all right? It's silly. You know, I'll get excited about eating a juicy steak, man. I mean, that stuff's good. But you know what? That's all fake, and it's gone in seconds, and we just wasted time and money doing it, didn't we? Okay? I jumped out of an airplane on Monday, you know? Somebody asked me, you know, was it an adrenaline rush and all that? I'm thinking, well, you know, it was cool, but you know what? It was over in 60 seconds. You know, I wouldn't want to live my life jumping out of airplanes for fun, okay? I don't have the time nor the money to do that, okay? But you know what? Those are all temporal things. When's the last time we looked at our heart and looked at God's word and said, I want you to affect me? When's the last time before I read my Bible in the morning, I looked at it and said, God, will you let some words in here affect this? Okay? Bible also says there's other things that affect our heart, right? There's the verse that says, mine eye affects my heart, okay? I didn't quote that quite right. But if you never go out and see the lost, you'll never be affected for the lost. Okay? If you never go out and see the broken, you'll never have a heart for the broken. There are some people that God raises them up in certain situations, and you think, why did I get raised in this situation? Why do I have this problem in my life? Maybe God's trying to let you have a heart for those type of people. Okay? Maybe God's trying to let you have a heart for that situation. How's your heart today? Do we have the right type of courage? Are we even going out soul winning? Are we standing up for what's right? Do we have the wisdom that we need? Listen, God gives it in His Word. We can get it every single day. We can get it from sources beyond, we can get it from godly counsel. We can get it from our pastor. We can get it from God's Word, and it's wonderful. But how about our hearts today? This is the one that affects the other two, okay? They kind of go in this order. This person can be fixed, that person can be fixed, and that person can be fixed. They can all get what they need, but you need to have all three. I know the scarecrow and all of them, they were all missing just one of them. But the gift that comes doesn't come from some Wizard of Oz, okay? It comes from a God who loves you, and He wants to give you the courage, and He wants to give me the wisdom, and He wants to give me the heart to serve Him. How's our heart today? Do we have the courage that we need? Do we have the right mind, the right brain? How's our heart today? Boy, I want to be affected. I want my heart to move for the lost people. I want my heart to move for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know what? It won't be if I don't let God get a hold of my heart. Let's let Him do some works. It's summertime, I know it is, and it's hot. It's different. It's a different schedule for some people. But in the end, boy, we need to just get alone with God this week. We need to get alone with God this summer and just say, will you just burn my heart a little bit? Would you just burn my heart? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for this day. Father, we thank You so much for the fact that You are willing and ready to supply all of our needs according to Your riches and glory. We're thankful that some of those needs, Lord, we think we need stuff, but Lord, in a lot of ways we don't. Lord, we think we need some other things that we sometimes pray for, but Lord, help us this week to pray for the courage to do what's right. Lord, help us this week to pray for wisdom that only You can give. Lord, this week, help us to pray for, Lord, the right type of heart, that we would be able to serve You and love You and, Lord, follow after Your will. And so I pray that in my life, Lord, You'd work in these three areas. Help me to have all three of them and use them all to Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.